Okay, I want you to picture this. You're driving out on the Cape, Route 6, past shops selling beach gear and lobster restaurants. The trees are getting shorter and stubbier. The ground gets sandier. That salty smell gets stronger as you go along. And you turn onto a sand track and you see it. It's a shack, and I mean a little shack, in the middle of the dunes. The Provincetown dune shacks are unusual buildings, and they have these amazing histories. But as you can imagine, a little shack in the dunes, they're kind of falling apart. And repairing them is both important and a little different than repairing a regular building. We want to talk about that and why it's important to repair and maintain this piece of our hidden history. So we have two guests. First, Nat Bull, who has been rebuilding one dune shack in particular. Nat, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you. And Julie Schechter, who's founder of the nonprofit Peaked Hill Trust, which manages five of the dune shacks. Julie, welcome.
Thank you for asking us.
So, Julie, just pick a shack, one that you can picture in your head right now, one of the five, and paint it for us a little bit. What's it look like?
For the most part, they are quite worn. Even after 1 year, if you put fresh shingles on a shack, after 1 year, they start to look quite worn and old. They're, for the most part, single-room buildings. There's an outhouse. There's a pump down the hill for your fresh water. There might be a two-burner gas grill in the shack. And they're quite isolated. Sometimes you might be able to see another shack from where you are, but often you can't.
How did they get there?
They got there various ways. Way back when the Coast Guard used to be called the Life-Saving Service, the people who walked to the beach to look for shipwrecks would lifesavers would ask whether, you know, going back into town was a bit of a hike, so they would build a small building.
So they could use as their outpost.
They could use, and they could ask their wives or their girlfriends, because they were all men, to come and stay out there. And so it was a way of not being out isolated, but to have somebody there. Well, sometimes the wives and girlfriends were not interested in staying there. So they started to rent them out to artists who were starting to come to Provincetown at that time.
So let's go into a shack, Nat, and we're in a studio. I want to smell it. I want to feel it. I want to know, you know, what's it made of, and does it creak, and how tight? Can you touch the two walls when you stand in the middle?
Well, they're not quite that small, but my first time out there, a good friend kept saying, you've got to come out, you've got to come out, and a couple of years went by and I never did. And finally, on a Friday in the fall, we went out and they were cooking a turkey in the oven because it was close to Thanksgiving. And you walk in and it's just antique wood everywhere you look. And the pulleys that operate the windows with their counterweights, everything is interesting. You look around at it and you're like, wow, who ever did this? And everything is cobbed together out of found wood, driftwood, and other things recovered from shacks that may have fallen down in the past, or the old Coast Guard boat stations where the whalemen kept their boats. Those shacks were falling down out there. So people are always salvaging lumber. So you're not looking at anything very new.
So we're talking with Nat Bull, who's a shack captain with Peaked Hill Trust and is doing repairs on a shack. And we've got Julie Schechter here, founder and former president of Peaked Hill Trust. We're talking about these roughly 19 shacks right down in the dunes in Provincetown. Julie, this is a piece of our artistic history. Is this part of the reason you wanted to preserve these shacks, because they've been home and inspiration for so much art?
Yes and no. The reason I wanted to preserve the shacks was because people loved them. And the art was an important aspect, but not the critical aspect as far as I was concerned. But at that time, the only way for the shacks to be preserved, they were slated for being bulldozed, was to discover assert an historical relevance. So that's we did some research. It had, some of it had already been done, and discovered that they had been used for by a wide number of and variety of artists over the years. There are composers, there are visual artists, there are writers, there were people with cameras. That, you know, there were just all kinds of work,
like a Jackson Pollock or a Tennessee Williams or
exactly.
an E.E. Cummings.
Yes.
So why do people love them so much, Julie?
I think they love them now for the same reason they loved them then. And that's because they touch something in the creative soul of people. So just as some of those famous people, famous now, were finding inspiration or something that touched them out in the dunes in these shacks, so too can people today who are not yet known. So the artists that we will know in another 10 or 20 years, and some that we know today, can come out and feel that sense of not just solitude, but inspiration and beauty and whatever it is that, that touches a creative person.
So, Nat, you're a carpenter by trade.
And a teacher.
And a teacher. So, in fact, you taught the carpentry trades.
Well, I taught shop. I am retired now.
Yeah.
And I worked at Barnstable for 15 years, and I worked at Provincetown for 15 years.
What made you want to volunteer? So we have this system, essentially, where shack captains, where somebody volunteers to kind of be in charge of a shack. Now, I understand, interestingly, the shack you're a captain for is not the one that you're doing some renovation on.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
But what made you want to give of your time and your skills that way?
Well, it's kind of rewarding. I mean, to go out and find something that's in such need of repair, and the repair is constant, because if you go out there in the spring and look at a shack that's just gotten through the winter, you'll see how the sandblasting is incredible, and the sand comes in everywhere, and they develop leaks, and the critters want to get in. So the upkeep is, it's big, it's huge. There's an awful lot of work that has to be done yearly. And when I first got my opportunity to go out there, they needed somebody, and it felt good to help.
Where does it challenge you the most with your skills?
Well, I mean, we've got a team of volunteers, so it's not just about me. There's a whole host of, there's a list of people that work with me when we do these shacks. And I'm using skills that I was using in the early 80s when pneumatic guns and things were not used to the extent that they are.
Those are those nail guns that go...
Exactly, the pneumatic nail guns and power saws and generators and all that. So when we go out to the dunes, it's kind of like a throwback to that era, which was pre-automation, which is rewarding as well, because you're off the grid out there, so there's no electricity. So we're putting things together and taking them apart and fixing them the old way with manpower, because we don't have machines. And it's rewarding in that respect.
So how many hours do you think you spend in a year working on preserving these shacks?
Oh, my gosh. I used to try and keep a record, but I lost the record book and gave up. It's probably 200 hours at least.
So, Julie, one of the things that came to mind as I was learning about these, right, and looking at some of the pictures, and it's, I don't know how to explain it, because to see a photo of one of these shacks is to be both see something that you might imagine in Appalachia, and that you also might imagine in one of those paintings of a sweet little Cape Cod dwelling that you find in a gallery in the Cape, right? And some combination of those things. But one of the things that strikes me about this is property, right? We're talking about, in some strange way, oceanfront property where that is a privilege to have access to. But this exists in this nonprofit shared space. So talk about that a little bit.
One of the reasons that the shacks still exist, and I speak of all of the properties out there, not just the ones that Peekit Hill manages, is because there's a constituency. And it was clear to me as a founder that this was not going to succeed unless we ask a whole lot of people to come together and join in supporting the notion of the shacks. And a lot of people who have absolutely zero interest in staying in a place with no electricity or running water supported this because they thought that it was a good idea. And so one of the things that Peekit Hill does is to serve as a reservoir, if you will, of the Dune Shacks constituency. Because otherwise, it's a group of people who use them themselves, single families, and we know that unless there's a fair amount of money behind you, you don't, you know, as a single family really doesn't hold a lot of sway. So that's what the organization does. It serves to support the notion of using these properties and using them in a way that's traditional. And if Peaked Hill was a for-profit organization, the cost of running these places would be exorbitant, and they would only be open to well-to-do people.
Have either of you ever stayed in one overnight?
Oh, yes.
All right. So
every opportunity.
All right. So what's it like in the middle of the night?
It can be scary. We were out there through a hurricane, and it you know, the first 3 or 4 hours, you're like, oh, this isn't so bad. But then it just continues to blow, and the shacks will quiver in the wind. So it's a little frightening. They don't fall apart. They're put together well enough so that you don't have to worry. But it's a unique experience to weather a big storm in one of these shacks.
Does it feel, I'm projecting here, So I imagine being in this, in one of these shacks with the weight of the history behind it, right? The mundane but wonderful history of something like a Coast Guard person, or as I understand it, sometimes early on they were used, people would be shipwrecked, they would crawl ashore, they would need shelter overnight before they could get into the town and they could stay in one of those. I almost can imagine the whispers of those voices, Nat. And we're speaking with Nat Bull and Julie Schechter here about these dune shacks in the Provincetown area. Do you get that sense of the souls that come before you?
The first thing that comes to mind when I think of these shacks is stepping outside in the brightest, clearest, sunny day of the year. And I refer to it as big sky country because in my home where I live, there's trees all around, and I don't get that. But when you're in a dune shack, the sun comes up and you see it come up, and when the sun sets, you see it set, and the sun is up for the entire period that it's daylight hours. So you have this sense of light, just pure light out there. And that's, I love to be out there over the longest day of the year. That's my goal, is to pick that week and be out there.
And be out there, see all that sun.
And the, you know, just, it's a retreat. So there's no interruptions. There's just you and your, whatever you're doing. You have your books and your guitar and your painting or doing photography. And it is a retreat. And that's what's, I'm not hearing the whispering of souls, but I do adore the place and love it.
How about you?
There is a story, and I can't confirm its accuracy, of one particularly awful shipwreck, and the bodies were taken in from the shipwreck and stacked in Thalassa. And I do know people who will not stay in that particular shack because they can feel the weight of those poor dead souls.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a common occurrence for the other shacks, but what you do share with other people who've come before you is people will do small repairs, and you get to see what people, what spoke to people about what needed, what the shack needed. And I think of it as giving a little bit of love to the shack.
All right. That is Julie Schechter, who is founder of Peaked Hill Trust, which manages five of these dune shacks in the Provincetown and Truro area. Also with us, Nat Bull, builder for the Thalassa Dune Shack, the one you were just talking about, Julie, and also a captain, a shack captain. Thanks to both of you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you.